People joke about not being able to retire, but for many older Americans in their 50s, 60s, their 80s, it's not funny. Their savings depleted, their monthly Social Security check, if they get one, maybe $400 or so, not enough to cover rent. So they're taking to the road in RVs, moving from beet field to pumpkin patch, taking tickets at NASCAR races, taking a lot of ibuprofen, stocking warehouses for Amazon. They're working. They call themselves work campers. Others have called them the Okies of the Great Recession, a reference to the farmers who fled the Dust Bowl during the Depression. And Jessica Bruder's eye-opening story, The End of Retirement When You Can't Afford to Stop Working, in the August issue of Harper's, tells their story. She joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you.
Boy, this eye-opener isn't the word for it. It's a heartbreaker, too.
It's amazing. A lot of people who did the right thing, they worked all their lives, they put money away if and when they could, you see them out there. And it's not a predictable crew of people. I met everyone from a gentleman who in the 70s for a few years had been the head of product development for McDonald's, and another guy who'd been a State Department teaching fellow, 77, working in an Amazon warehouse and living in an RV.
Well, so some people lost all their savings in the banking collapse. Others, like Linda May, you introduced us to her right away, you know, might have lived with their families, but then their families had tough times and don't have room for them, just had a downsize and didn't have room for Linda May. Tell us more about her.
Sure. Linda has held a variety of jobs. She's been everything from a cocktail waitress to an insurance executive to doing construction. She is one tough cookie. But in the modern economic climate, working that hard and being one tough cookie doesn't necessarily mean you've got a pension. Mm. So while she has saved where she could, her Social Security amounts to $499 a month, and that's not a heck of a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't cover rent. And again, people shouldn't presume that you might have jobs, but that doesn't necessarily translate into pensions and savings. So she did not have a job that provided a pension. And again, her family didn't have room for her. How desperate was she?
When I spoke with her, she recounted a time in 2010 where she almost thought about pulling the plug. I mean, she was living in a trailer in New River, Arizona. She was working as a Home Depot cashier. All the money she was making was going back into rent. And basically, she was looking down this tunnel of days where that was what she was going to be doing for the rest of her life, never being able to retire, just kind of putting the money back in, feeling isolated. And she said, with a tinge of black humor, but she meant it, that she thought about the quote in the story is, I'm going to drink all the booze, I'm going to turn on the propane, I'm going to pass out, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
And if I wake up, I'm going to light a cigarette and blow us all to hell. Now, when Linda says that, she's half cackling, but you know she also said it to herself.
Right. And by the way, how old's Linda at this point in your story?
Linda was 60 years old then. That was 2010.
Which, you know, many people, you know, think isn't that old, but it's certainly an age where you're going to have a hard time getting a full-time job with a good pension. So she falls into this rabbit hole that you also discovered and bring us into, of this world of people selling everything, buying RVs and going on the road, and finding out about this through websites from other people. Tell us about Bob Wells.
Oh, Bob Wells is amazing. So there's a website called cheaprvliving.com, and it was one of the first resources that Linda stumbled across as she was trying to figure out how to live the next chunk of her life. Bob Wells started that website. He was a Safeway clerk in Alaska in the 90s. He had a fine income for one family, but when he got divorced and basically found himself supporting himself as almost an independent mini unit and then wife and child, he had to move into a box van. And at first, he told me he was quite ashamed. He said, you know, am I the social outcast? Am I the guy who lives down by the river, just kind of looking at these tropes? And then basically, he came to embrace it. He came to embrace this nomadic lifestyle. He started putting together resources, lessons he'd learned, everything from stealth parking, which is a fancy way to say how not to get pushed around by police when you're trying to find a place to park your rig and sleep, to putting photovoltaic solar panels on your rig, to going and finding cheap dentistry in Los Algodones, Mexico, which is a really popular place with these guys.
As you move further into this community yourself and start meeting all of these elderly people traveling the country, you say just about everybody's been to that town.
Just about everybody had either come from Los Algodones or planned to go to have a tooth pulled or a crown put in or dentures fixed. It was definitely a pilgrimage spot.
Well, so Bob Wells has a website that tells people about a lot of these, you know, ways to live on the road. Linda May starts living on the road. She buys an RV for $4,000. And this brings us into this world of, you know, traveling the country looking for work. Thousands of elderly, this community, in their RVs, moving from place to place. She had a job, a seasonal job at Yosemite National Park. What did she do there?
She was camp hosting, which means you're taking camp fees, you're welcoming guests, and you're scrubbing toilets, which is probably the least popular part of the job. So you're basically being the host, you're doing some maintenance, you're cleaning up. And many, many parks around the country offer these jobs, and they're always for, they're pretty much always for RVers.
Yeah. So that's one of the seasonal jobs that people take. She moves on, though, to Amazon. And this is fascinating and kind of out of the headlines. Amazon is really taking advantage of this worker force.
Well, it's wild. They have a program that began in 2008 called Camper Force, and it was just an experiment. In some of their warehouses that are further away from major population centers, they have a tricky time getting the temporary flex staff that you need to meet the peak rush. So we're talking everywhere from early fall right up until Christmas when, the kind of consumer frenzy hits its peak. And they discovered this population of work campers, which, you know, it's actually kind of an employer's dream, right? You don't need a house for them. They show up. They show up with the house, they're ready to go, and they disappear when you don't need them. They pretty much create these ephemeral company towns in RV parks. So Amazon discovered that in 2008 and just started really mining it to the point where now I approached an Amazon Camper Force recruiter in Quartzsite, Arizona, and was told that the headcount for the Camper Force program had grown to 2,000 people.
Just part of this coast-to-coast network of older Americans looking for work in a somewhat underground economy and often invisible labor force, but one that, as we're hearing, a lot of businesses are well aware of and are actually recruiting. Jessica Bruder tells their story in her piece, The End of Retirement, When You Can't Afford to Stop Working. It's in the August issue of Harper's. You're listening to Here and Now. It's Here and Now. Welcome back to our conversation with Jessica Bruder. Her sometimes jaw-dropping article in Harper's, The End of Retirement, When You Can't Afford to Stop Working, tells of an underground economy of older Americans living in RVs, traveling the country from seasonal job to job, including loading Amazon's cavernous warehouse in Fernley, Nevada. Some of those RV drivers may be listening in campgrounds set up just for them right now. Jessica also reminds us that German statesman Otto von Bismarck first floated the idea of helping people stop working back in 1883, this idea of retirement. William Osler, who founded Johns Hopkins, picked up the idea as a way to help the aging but also clear the way for the young to get jobs. And the Great Depression sealed that thinking, the New Deal, asking Americans to contribute to a Social Security fund, which became part of a three-legged stool, Social Security, pensions, and personal investments. But as Jessica reminds us, pensions have been replaced by 401ks, many personal investments went south in the recession, and Social Security for many people is just $400 a month, not enough for rent. So Jessica met people like Linda May in her 60s, now one of the so-called work campers, who follow jobs, learn tricks for survival at work camper websites. There are even job fairs. Jessica Bruder, you found one called The Big Tent in Quartzsite, Arizona?
It was kind of amazing to walk into the tent because I thought to myself, where else in America right now are people so hungry to hire people in the demographic we were calling ARP and up? So not elderly, but 50 and up. I mean, that is a really hard demographic to, if you're freshly jobless, to get a new job out of. And it's not a demographic that a lot of people are actively recruiting. So seeing that was absolutely fascinating. You've got Amazon has a dedicated program, the Camper Force. The beet harvest, American Crystal Sugar harvests sugar beets seasonally in the Red River Valley. And that's some cold, rough work. These people aren't literally in the fields hauling out the beets. That's done by machines now. But they are out there at night guiding the trucks in, cleaning up beets. You know, they're riding bobcats. They are, by which I mean the machine, not the beast. they're hauling around 30-pound bags of beets that are sample bags. And they're doing it on 12-hour shifts, sometimes in freezing cold overnight. They sell fireworks at roadside stands. They pick pumpkins. There are all sorts of jobs.
Well, and there's all sorts of underground ways to find them. There's websites with names like Workers on Wheels, Work Camper News. Some companies offer bed and board. Others a place to park. But no benefits. You know, a lot of these people don't have health care. You say the bead harvest isn't as hard as it once was, but you talked to a worker on a faulty machine who he was being pelted by the beads. He said it was like being hit with potatoes. And
yeah, he said it was like getting strafed with an automatic potato gun. I think it's very hard. It's just people initially picture that folks are out there in the fields with, you know,
baskets,
shovels and stuff, and that's not quite what's happening, right. But what's happening is not easy.
It's hard work. Linda May, when she worked in an Amazon warehouse, this is a 10-hour workday walking on concrete slab floors and hauling very heavy product at times.
Absolutely. And Amazon knows it's hard work. They have a process called work hardening which to me just sounded, that was such a wild piece of slang, almost bizarrely honest, you know, hardening you for the work, where they're kind of ramping you up to that full day, getting you used to walking on the concrete. And these warehouses have med stations called AmCare. I mean, they're ready. They know things can happen in that environment.
And so what are these, again, older people, how do they handle the hardness of the work?
Well, the people themselves are amazing. I mean, it's a funny balance to walk in a story like this because the economy is so bleak, but the dignity and the resilience of the people is so amazing to me and so inspiring to me that it's hard to talk about both pieces at the same time almost because, you know, they don't see themselves as victims.
In fact, some of them see themselves as liberated.
Absolutely. And I think that's a coping mechanism. But who am I as a reporter coming out to visit to tell them otherwise? You know, when people can find joy, that's great. I don't think that is any reason to ignore the current state of the economy and retirement finance.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really a testament to these people as individuals.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, the joy part. I mean, these become communities. They live together on these campgrounds during the months or so that they're working in different seasonal work. You know, they help each other out.
They have these amazing microeconomies. This is so cool. You go into the laundry room at any one of these RV parks and you realize that, you know, there are flyers everywhere for services because there's this sub-economy where people who aren't doing the warehouse work, maybe they're physically unable to. You don't have a high school degree. Amazon requires that. Maybe, you know, you're just not doing it for whatever reason. So you've got people who are walking dogs, preparing meals, doing RV upholstery. You've got this kind of whole sub-economic network that forms. And there are also some pretty incredible social bonds. But I think hardship does bring people together. You know, it's not always the best way to bond, but the bonds are undeniably strong.
Well, and they have to be because, again, I have to keep coming back to it. This work is hard. You meet Linda Chesser, a former Washington State University academic advisor, who's now in this life, and she tells you, this is the first time I've ever done factory work, and I have a whole new respect for it. But she's also taking 4 ibuprofen in the morning and 4 when she gets home at night.
I know. It was all I could do not to think, oh, your liver. I mean, I thought it. I just didn't, you know, I didn't want to say something judgmental, but that's not really a sustainable way to deal with pain.
Well, but how do they get medical care?
Not easily. So Linda needed some medical care at one point. They took her to AmCare. She got an ambulance to Reno, had to pay the cab fare back herself, which was, you know, well over $100. A lot of people I've met don't even want to access their Medicare because it takes $100 out of Social Security. And that's $100 that they would rather use to, you know, eat.
Well, but in that way, they are like migrant workers.
They are. I mean, in the literal sense of migrant workers, they are migrant workers. They're moving around from job to job.
Well, they seek refuge during the winter months in a place called Quartzsite, Arizona. You mentioned the town. It's, as you say, it's a migrant's Shangri-La.
Burning Man for geezers, one of my sources said.
Well, and here they do something called boondocking. What's that?
So boondocking is a fun word for dry camping. That means you are parked in your RV, but you're not using hookups for electricity or water. So some of them are running on generators or solar, stuff like that. But you're really just out in the desert, which in many places in Quartzsite, you can camp for free for up to 2 weeks, or it's actually quite cheap to camp for the season. So it's a place where these people can go financially dormant and bond.
So you meet this community, and they are making their way now. But you alluded to how, you know, who am I to comment on this joy they feel they've found? But you do comment in the article about your fears for this community. What are they?
I worry about them very much. I mean, bodies don't last, RVs don't last. You know, we're finite vessels. And What do you do when you can't go out on the road? What do you do when you can't lift that 30-pound bag of beets or stay up all night in the Amazon warehouse? The weirdest thing is these aren't some other alien people. These people really are us. After the story came out, I found somebody that I met at the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous is my old friend's mother. I found out I was just in San Francisco and a good friend of mine said, oh, I know that character. She used to live in this city and was working on this volunteer project with me. They're not some other people. Do you know what I mean? It's not. There are families, and that is what is so important about this to me.
Jessica Bruder, her story, The End of Retirement, When You Can't Afford to Stop Working, is in the August issue of Harper's, a must-read. Jessica, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
So, your thoughts on work campers. We'd love to hear from you. Leave a comment at hereandnow.org.